The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. Surprise, this is not Tristan Taramino. This is Raymond Johnson, and I am the associate producer of Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino. And I am filling in today for Tristan, who unfortunately is dealing with some severe pain issues around her back, which a lot of you know she has a chronic issue with that. So we're thinking of her this evening. And since she's not able to make it on the radio, I wanted to sort of point everyone to an article that came out in The Guardian this week. On July 25th, there's an article entitled "Spanking, Caning, and Consent Play: How Feminist Porn Frees Women from Shame." It starts off saying, "Can a feminist have rape fantasies?" According to feminist pornographer producer Pandora Blake, who runs the fetish porn site Dreams of Spanking and frequently portrays fantasies of, quote, non-consent, the answer is a no-brainer. Absolutely. I think we probably know that, most listeners of the show as well. Tristan was interviewed for this article in The Guardian, which is really great. So I'm just going to read actually from her section what she said. Quote, "In some cases, people's porn preferences contradict who they are in the world as responsible people who are committed to justice and equality," says Tristan Taramino, a feminist porn producer, sex educator, and organizer of the annual Feminist Porn Conference in Toronto. And, quote, "And I'm okay with that." Taramino's own porn focuses on female enjoyment, on diversity of bodies, and on the comfort and authentic expression of her performers. She often subverts the tropes viewers might expect to find in porn. Quote, "Certainly there are things in mainstream porn that I think are stereotypical or repetitive, boring, or even offensive," Taramino told me. "But the answer is not to shut down porn. The answer is to make more porn." Quote, "Most mainstream porn revolves around the ever-present erection," she says, "which speaks volumes about how it really revolves around male pleasure, male desire, male fantasy. So I've shot scenes where a male partner will make a woman come with his hands, mouth, or a toy without ever taking his pants off." She also includes scenes where women initiate sexual encounters or where actors direct each other, rather than everyone seeming to know what they're doing at all time. No pizza boys show up at the door only to be mobbed by a gaggle of waiting co-eds. She makes a point to emphasize consent and mutual enjoyment. So that's Tristan's part in the piece. Also, Courtney Trouble is quoted as well, so you should check it out. Again, that's in The Guardian, July 25th. I'll put the link out on Twitter. If you follow Tristan on social media, which you should and you probably do, you'll know that earlier this month she was vacationing in Hawaii. She put a lot of really cool pics up on Instagram. She's at Tristan Taramino on Instagram. And then after she was on vacation, she left to fly over to Dallas to be part of Poly Dallas 2016 last weekend. You can check out the hashtag PolyDallas2016 on Twitter. You can see pics from the event, links, and find out some more information about the speakers and things like that. This is a new event. I think this is the second year. Last year it premiered, and it's really getting some great traction. So I'm always a fan of when poly and queer events happen in the South. I think it's really great to be building up that community as well. Tristan is not done yet with her summer events. Next weekend, actually, August 4th through 7th, is the 7th Annual Sexual Freedom Summit, the event where everything comes together in spectacular conversations about sexual rights. Woodhull Sexual Freedom Alliance puts this together every year. The summit features human rights activists, sexuality educators and researchers, professionals from the legal and medical fields, authors, sexual freedom movement leaders, and organizational partners, all working toward the time when sexual freedom is fully recognized as a fundamental human right. This summit is for everyone interested in learning about the issues in the realm of sexual freedom, advancing their current knowledge, and in gaining the tools to actually create the change we need to accomplish. Tristan is actually teaching her workshop. So the day before the conference, she is out there teaching her sex educator boot camps. The level 2 and level 3 will be offered at Woodhull next week. So you guys, I have to talk to you a little bit about these boot camps. I know Tristan talks about them every week. And you might be like, okay, they sound great and all, but I don't know if what I want to do with my life really fits in with being a sex educator. And so... I have to tell you that Tristan actually, she recently put level 1 online. I apologize for, but I have a dog barking in the background. She offered me, the level 1 is offered online now. And so she offered me a chance to take the class. I am not a sex educator. I've been a producer for the show for many years. I have at some point led some peer workshops and things like that. So I've always been sort of peripherally on the sexual health healthcare field. I am actually a shiatsu therapist, which is a form of body work and manual therapy. It's a little bit like acupuncture with my hands instead of needles, as far as how I sort of am working with the body. It's a little bit esoteric. Most people kind of know massage. They kind of know acupuncture. They don't really know shiatsu. But I have to say that I'm finding my way as an entrepreneur, and I'm establishing myself as an authority in this craft in a small field in the United States right now, and I'm building a private practice around it. And all of these things are very similar to how sex educators are creating their own brand and business and going into business for themselves. And so I took this workshop, and there was so much of it that I was already doing, but it was good to know, like, all right, I'm on the right path. There was a lot of things that were a lot of translatable skills and just got me to sort of think about, like, oh, here are some ways I can kind of tweak this, because I'm doing client-based work, and it's very, you know, it's in the realm of intimate in the sense that it has to do with the body. So there was a lot of overlap, I think, as far as where these sex ed educator boot camp, like the possibility. So if you are even peripherally on the edge, or if you're thinking about it, but you maybe, or just want to add an element of sexual health and sex ed, you should be taking these boot camps. So that's my testimonial, that I am just doing a plug, a personal plug. Tristan plugs it from the teacher point of view. I thought I would plug it from the learner point of view. It's super well, this is no surprise, super well organized. great handouts, great video, all that stuff. Super pro. Okay. End of that testimonial. I should say, hey, I'm live right now. I am live on the radio, and you can call and talk to me or call and talk to our guests. We're actually going to be talking about poly stuff today. So give us a call at 866-472-5788. You can also post questions on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. I will be trying to glance at that some. Obviously, I'll be kind of juggling and doing host duties, but I will check in as well. So you can send those questions there, and I will read it on the air. Okay, let me introduce this guest. So last Friday, we were listening to Jody Blank, and I was reading on my computer, and a friend of mine on Facebook, Alicia, what's up, posted this article entitled, "The Only Poly People You'll Ever Date." I clicked on it. I started reading it. At some point, I was laughing so hard that tears were coming. Flames on the side of my face. it was great. It was like emoji tears, laughing tears. Great. I immediately found the writer on Twitter. I DM'd them and said, "What are you doing next Friday night?" And they answered, "Talking to you." which was the correct answer. So here we are. Adam Powers. Adam Powers is a 31-year-old California native who's lived in San Diego for the better part of a decade and would move to Berlin or Vancouver, but for having all the community she could ever hope for right here. She's identified as queer, polyamorous, and transgender for just about 2 years, marking a sudden shift from being mostly cis, mostly straight, mostly monogamous, and mostly male. She both attended and currently works at UC San Diego, where she studied design and cognitive science, and has spent a good part of her professional life trying to reconcile her deep and abiding loves of both people and technology. She organizes 2 poly meetup groups, one discussion-based and the other a social mixer, both fully inclusive of all genders, sexualities, and relationship styles. You can find out more about the San Diego Polyamory Sea at sdpoly.org, and she posts primarily on Medium under at Adam Powers. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Adam.
Oh, hello. Thank
hello.
You. Hello. I didn't realize it was going to sound that long read out loud, otherwise I would have cut it down. Also, kudos on the Madeline Kahn Clue reference. Oh, I did not pass by unnoticed.
It's good, good. You know, I like to have a little Easter eggs, right? As much as possible.
Right? I just called it out. Sorry.
No. That's great. That's good. I still, people are going to be like, who? What? 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 Secretary of State?
Watch the movie.
Madeline Albright. Clue. That was a Clue reference, everybody. Okay. Let's, tell me a little bit about how, this piece, The Only Poly People You Ever Date, where did it sort of originate?
My friend Alex Temple on Facebook, she lives in Chicago. She's actually a metamorph. She made a funny Facebook post like she often does. It was a riff on the BuzzFeed type articles, you know, the 6 people you'll date before you'll find the one. She's like, wouldn't it be funny if there was the 6 poly people you'll date, except you'll always be dating them because poly, like you're not going to go through them. And so we just started riffing on that in the comments, and a lot of the titles of the pieces or of the people were in that comment thread. And me being the kind of person who tends to take jokes a little bit far and is always just sort of messing around with writing, typed it up and was like, ha, here, isn't this funny? It was really just supposed to be an in-joke and a comment thread. Then I guess I shared it with a couple people on Slack, and that got to where we are now.
It's taken off, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you gotten a lot of sort of feedback as far as, like, how far-reaching have you got, is what I'm trying to say.
I've heard things from Australia to Europe to... people are looking at their Facebook feeds and people are posting it from multiple countries at once. I'm honestly kind of flabbergasted. Like, I'm not trying to be fake humble. I know I'm not a terrible writer, but I don't think not terrible writing gets something to that point. So I'm wondering, like, what is being tapped in accidentally stumbled on? I'm not going to say, oh, I'm so good. It's like, so we're scratching the surface of something here.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, because I think for me, like, part of why I was laughing so much is that, like, I knew all those people. Maybe with some of them, I dabbled in some of those. I realize I'll get away from that, you know, things like that. So I think there's that seeing yourself in things that is probably what speaks to so many people. So we're going to have you actually, after this commercial break, I'm going to have you come back, and you're actually going to share the piece with us. So everyone who's listening... we're going to take our first commercial break, and then when we come back, Adam Powers is going to read, are you going to read about half of it, do you think? Or selections of it?
Yeah, selections of, probably not the whole thing, but at least a few, quite a few of them.
Okay.
Not the whole thing, though.
Gotcha. Because it's pretty extensive, and I think there might even be talk of, like, part 2 already happening. So there is part of me that kind of just wants to, like, have a whole episode where this whole thing is just read, but we're going to kind of hit a few highlights. They're going to share it from us, and then we'll talk about it more.
Yeah, I'll read my papers.
All right, excellent. So we're going to take a break and hear from our wonderful sponsors. I will say one thing. Did you know that there are free workshops that happen almost every week at the Pleasure Chest? You can go to thepleasurechest.com online and look up and see which of the cities near you and what is happening on any day or any week. They don't have workshops every day, but just every week. We love the Pleasure Chest. They have been a really wonderful, supportive sponsor of our show this week. And so they put on great stuff, and you should go check it out. Okay, when I come back, we're going to hear Adam's piece, The Only Poly People You'll Ever Date. Stay tuned.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
Latex gloves, leather cuffs, nipple clamps. Some things are just better in twos. That's why the Pleasure Chest is celebrating the power of two with their annual BOGO sale. Buy one, get one half off on all vibrating toys. Maybe you're dying to try the new rechargeable magic wand, but also want something travel-sized. Maybe you and your BFF are in the market for new vibes. Or maybe you want to explore a new kind of sensation for half the price. Any way you slice it, two is better than one. So don't agonize over buzzy versus rumbly, rabbit versus slimline, or internal versus external. Get a taste of everything with the Pleasure Chest's only sale of the year in each of their stores nationwide for the whole month of July. Not able to make it to one of their locations in New York, LA, or Chicago? PleasureChest.com is offering free shipping all month long on every order. You can also use the code Tristan at checkout year-round for a free massage candle with every purchase.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Raymond, and I am your substitute teacher for today while Tristan is away. We are live. I'm live today talking from Adam Powers, who's about to read from their piece, The Only Poly People You'll Ever Date. If you want to talk to Adam or talk to us about the piece or anything about poly questions, you can give us a call, 866-472-5788. That number again is 866-472-5788. I'm also going to cruise over to Twitter and see if there are any questions in a minute, so you can tweet us at Sex Out Loud Radio. All right, so on the show today, I mentioned Adam Powers. I do want to give a warning. My interpretation is that this is written from a place of love. So if you feel like you might be a character in this piece, then it probably means you're living your life right. So please enjoy and laugh along with us. Take it away, Adam.
Thank you. And if it helps, I'm most of these myself. So the manic poly dream girlfriend. She has a membership at the local circus gym, a corgi named Bowser, a half sleeve she got while living in Berlin, and roller derby scars. You can't physically imagine her hair being anything but purple. You'll run into her on OkCupid, where she has a 97% match with everyone, and 6 months after you message her, she'll hit you up out of the blue to grab a drink. Poly, for her, is the only lifestyle possible, due to the fact that she falls in love with approximately everyone she meets, and nearly everyone reciprocates. As a result, she's a whiz at scheduling dates, popping open her Google Calendar, or her trusty and completely incomprehensible paper planner, to inform you of the next 3 times she's available, at least one of them more than a week out. She won't flake, but she'll be both late and highly apologetic. Regardless, you'll have a ridiculously engaging conversation that touches on everything from cyborgs to dirty haikus to childhood fears. She'll suggest you add her on Snapchat, since it allows her to maintain connections with lots of people at once. Ultimately, your relationship will proceed in one of two directions. Either you'll manage to gel with her undiagnosed ADHD and become one of the partners she somehow manages to regularly make time for, or the strange internal algorithm she uses to allocate attention, obtuse even to her, will flag you as no longer interesting. At which point, her text responses will become slowly spaced further and further apart, and her schedule harder and harder to get on, until she's gently, she thinks, faded from your life. The relationship and actual anarchist. I just think, they'll tell you, over fair trade coffee on your first date, which may or may not, but will definitely involve bicycles, that ownership of a person's heart is just about as inherently unjust as the ownership of any property whatsoever. When they pay for said coffee, it will be with a slightly pained look of someone contributing to the downfall of civilization. you'll want to be dismissive of them and their worldview, but the fact that they know more about the government's role in overseas conflict than your political science thesis advisor and are the only person in your memory who's ever asked before touching you makes it hard to. Your second and third dates, and in fact, your entire relationship, will be an even split of completely unexciting and really exciting, like a vegan potluck where nobody drinks but suddenly everyone starts playing music on their own instruments, or a peaceful demonstration in the Civic Center but suddenly everyone starts blocking all southbound traffic. If it doesn't work out, it'll be because their ideas are slowly becoming infectious, and you're just not ready to start wondering if orange is the new black is really all that progressive, or why up-and-coming is only used to describe neighborhoods that are getting whiter. That and dumpster diving for pizza is super totally gross. The pansexual trans girl. If you've managed to find yourself in the vast minority of humans who have the slightest clue how to respectfully talk to a transgender person, you might even find yourself dating one. Your dynamic will develop organically but intensely, satisfying in a way you can't quite explain. Certainly you're smitten. Blunt, sarcastic, and disarmingly intelligent, she's resolved forevermore against a life of repression and is coming into a personal renaissance marked by complete freedom from limitation, expressed through her gender identity, sexuality, relationship style, and the number of striped knee socks she feels is reasonable to own. And if you've managed not to be a complete dingus on your first few dates, in the bedroom or fitting into her ecology of other partners, you'll find yourself in a genuinely great, comfortable relationship, coming over after work to hang out while she streams on Twitch, snuggling while watching reruns of Battlestar Galactica, and lightheartedly debating the merits of your respective favorite programming languages. Your love affair will dwindle to a close when you discover, in a slow, creeping fashion, suddenly blooming unbidden into a full-blown epiphany, that you're transgender yourself. All her partners, in their own time, will come to the same realization. You'll attempt to hold it together, but you have your own journey as a pansexual trans girl now, and it will take you different directions and towards different styles of cat ear headphones. Having successfully passed on the cis vaccine to the next unwitting cohort, she'll return again to the dating realm, heart-heavy, but with important work to do. The uncomfortably hierarchical couple. She'll check her phone, fidgeting as you leave the restaurant and start meandering towards the bar. I agreed to check in with her after 10 p.m. unless it's past the third date, but this is our first, so hold on a second. The screen lights up her face as she dashes off a text. 10 minutes later, a series of replies stream in, and she quickly checks each one before finally relaxing, clearly relieved, and goes back to enjoying the evening. This will continue with every successive milestone in your relationship, as both of you navigate a labyrinthine set of agreements designed, presumably, to keep everyone comfortable. At no point will you be under any illusions as to your place in her life. She'll make clear, with admirable honesty, that her primary comes before everyone else. And the relationship will be just fine, even if you can't sleep in a shared bed, go off on vacations for more than 2 days, or do certain sex acts together. After a few too many dates get cut short, however, due to circumstances instigated by her other partner, you might feel it's time to mosey onwards. This is when you run into the uncomfortably open relationship couple. They send each other encouraging texts when one of them's on a date, high-five each other after sex with other people, and they're in front of you now, hitting on you. At least you're pretty sure one of them is, and you're not at all sure whether the other one's enthusiasm is the world's best jealousy management, an equal desire to participate, or somewhere in between. He's fantastic in bed, one of them will say with an entreating look. You'll suddenly wonder whether you're at a bar or have somehow wound up at a dimly lit livestock auction. In actuality, they're simply really great at poly, with strong confidence in their relationship and unashamedness of who they are. But where you're at right now, it feels a little overwhelming. If you actually proceed to a date, which will, it turned out, be with just one of them, you'll be greeted on pickup by their significant other, who lightheartedly shoos you both on your way like a couple of teens off to a drive-in movie. When it becomes clear that dating one very much means having the other in your life all the time, you'll decide you're just not there yet and graciously withdraw from forward motion. They'll understand, a little hurt but unsurprised, and continue being awesome together. The queer academic. You'll meet through the friend of a friend, and two adjacent social circles commingle for birthday drinks or an imminently tweetable art show, and strike up a conversation that starts with discussing a book and ends with exchanging phone numbers. You'll find out somewhere in the middle that they're a PhD student, making the best of their interminable limbo by getting to know the city they're confined to for the remainder of the decade. You'll be proud to not be completely lost when they talk about their thesis, though that's not the same as being remotely able to understand it. They won't mind. The life of such an intellectual pursuit is marked by an unearthly depth of focus and the resulting loneliness in the asteroid fields of the outer perimeter of human knowledge is expected, and they'll gladly discuss it with you anyway. Your ability to enjoy this will be one of the sole determinants of your relationship success. Their poly is an extension of their feminist ideology, informed as much by principle as identity, regardless of their actual day-to-day success in navigating the business of human feelings. They socialize and primarily date within queer lesbian circles, whether or not they exclusively date women and whether or not they identify as a woman. Because fuck identity policing. You will probably get married. Unless they don't believe in marriage, in which case, you will probably get cats.
I'm so glad you read The Queer Academic, because that was one of my favorite ones.
Glad to hear.
Will you just tease what the titles for the other ones you didn't read were?
Oh, yeah, sure. The Respectable Poly Parent, The Poly Blogosphere Celebrity, Vaguely Gothic Geeky Feminist, The Elder Hippie with Limitless Sexual Appetite.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of those. I live in Asheville. I was telling Adam during the break, and I think there's a lot of that, the Endless Sex Appetite hippie one.
If you find the article, read the comments. People have been riffing on the theme slightly less kindly than I would, but that's why I let them do it.
Right.
There's some good stuff in there.
I was going to say, do any of the, what are the comments that sort of stand out for you?
Oh, goodness. Let me see. Oh, so okay. Similar to how I teased out the headlines, Kathleen Roos on Medium. I love this one.
I definitely did too, yeah.
They didn't flesh it out, which I kind of like better.
Right.
they said, also needed, wife who isn't exactly on board with this. Single female who's probably not poly, but just can't deal with one-on-one relationship right now because recent emotional wreckage. Narcissist who finds poly excellent structure for maintaining copious sources of sex and admiration. Couple who are definitely not headed towards divorce, definitely not. Guy who isn't quite sold on need for both partners to know that they're in an open relationship. Pseudo-spiritual misogynist who fancies himself a sexual mentor. That one who really needs to be on poly version of Animal Hoarder TV show because what are you even going to do with all these people? Do they really want a third or does someone keep flaking on their weekly D&D game? Kinky couple thinks poly equal free maid and babysitter service. Guy who manages the same board during group sex. Then she says, all things I've read about in books, of course.
Of course, of course. None of these are us or people we've loved or dated or anything like that, right? What about, has there been any sort of backlash or criticism from it?
A little bit. It's been, I think if you write anything on the internet that grows beyond 10 people, you're going to have stuff. You know, people posting vitriol.
There's obviously one or two trolls, but I did notice you took down the tag satire. Can you talk about that?
Oh, this is a great comment. Once I thought I had seen peak smug Polly, but no, this is peak smug Polly. The smug married is awful, but can't hold a candle to the smug Polly. This is not satire. Satire does not consist of describing how wonderful your in-group is, how they're simply the best sort of people that you could ever hope to meet. You're thinking of a circle jerk, which this is. And they have a point. It's not really satire. It's just talking about something I find funny. So I almost put circle jerk in as one of the tags.
Right.
And then,
I was just going to say, for me, I mean, you're right. Like that comment was kind of funny, and it's true. Like, you know, I can see that it can come off as smug, but I would argue it's satire only in the sense that my favorite satire, I feel like, is pretty much just straight realism. and so there was so much sort of, I felt that realism to me and to my experience, which is obviously not everyone's experience. So.
Yeah, I didn't want to engage that person directly because then it just would have been a flame war, but
absolutely.
I would have defended it by saying, I mean, what's wrong with that? They're having a circle jerk about poly is kind of different from having a circle jerk from marriage, because marriage is tremendously represented in pretty much all of culture. I think if I were really going to say why this thing got popular and why I'm talking to you now, it's that there really isn't much representation of poly people by poly people. Usually monogamous folks talking about their journey with poly on Thought Catalog or Elephant Journal or something, or poly people trying to explain poly to monogamous folks. There really isn't just much poly stuff on a major reading platform that doesn't assume you have to be totally on board with it. And I think that might have helped. Maybe also the fact that it's kind of queer might have helped too.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. There's a sort of an element that this is sort of for poly, by poly. Like, you know what I mean? That this is, I don't think your piece would necessarily speak as much to anyone who wasn't in the community to a certain extent, you know.
Right, so if anyone's hearing this in poly, just write. Just write more.
Right. Exactly. Like we, yeah. And I think that was some of it too, is that being able to see ourselves reflected in a way that isn't cringing or isn't like, oh, thinking about all, for me, I wasn't thinking about all the things you got wrong. I was just laughing at all the things you got right, which is kind of rare.
Please do that.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for sharing, Adam. We're going to take another break. And then when we come back, I'm actually going to get a little bit more of your backstory and find out about some of the other stuff that you're working on.
Oh, so, sure. Awesome.
Great. So stay tuned. I will be back soon with Adam Powers.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Latex gloves, leather cuffs, nipple clamps. Some things are just better in twos. That's why the Pleasure Chest is celebrating the power of two with their annual BOGO sale. Buy one, get one half off on all vibrating toys. Maybe you're dying to try the new rechargeable magic wand, but also want something travel-sized. Maybe you and your BFF are in the market for new vibes. Or maybe you want to explore a new kind of sensation for half the price. Any way you slice it, two is better than one. So don't agonize over buzzy versus rumbly, rabbit versus slimline, or internal versus external. Get a taste of everything with the Pleasure Chest's only sale of the year in each of their stores nationwide for the whole month of July. Not able to make it to one of their locations in New York, LA, or Chicago? PleasureChest.com is offering free shipping all month long on every order. You can also use the code Tristan at checkout year-round for a free massage candle with every purchase.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino. This week, it is Sex Out Loud with Raymond Johnson, associate producer who is filling in for Tristan this week. It's hot out, and sometimes when it's hot, you maybe sex can be, you don't want to touch as much. And I realize that I need a new vibrator. So I'm going to be going to pleasurechest.com very soon and see what specials they have, because they often have really great discounts, and replace my vibrator. My vibrator right now is terrible, and it's like, it sounds like a terrible power tool. Like, I kind of feel like I have to have the windows closed because the neighbors will hear and things like that. So I need to fix that. So I'm going to take myself to Pleasure Chest, maybe after the show. Okay. I've been talking to Adam Powers. Would you like to talk to Adam Powers too? Because guess what? You can. You can call us at 866-472-5788. We still have a couple more segments. You can call and talk to me. You can also post questions on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. All right. Adam, I want to talk a little bit more about you. Tell me what sort of your sexual biography, your biography, all of that stuff. Tell me about that.
Oh, goodness. Well, it's funny because for me, my polyness and my queerness and my transness were sort of all things that were heavily intermingled into each other and sort of hit at once after about 28 years of being a mostly normative person who didn't really fit in with guys, but was kind of had learned to be okay with that, especially because it meant kind of almost by reverse that I had a bunch of great female friends that I was super comfortable with, comfortable talking about feelings, that sort of traditional thing. And then what happened? I became single at 28, which was the first time I'd been single after 14 years of serial monogamy, and said, all right, all right, time to stop being in relationships. I didn't know what that meant because all I knew was that I didn't want to wake up 5 years from then and find myself in another long-term relationship like I'd been doing. So I just went on a year of being single, dating, not really knowing too much, you know, breaking hearts, having my heart broken, and saying things like, I really like you, but I just can't be committed right now because I don't want to be in a long-term monogamous relationship. And I hadn't really thought about non-monogamy as a thing, but it was starting to get to the point where having to keep a certain distance from people was not so fun, and just having the first date over and over again or just having sex wasn't really that fun. I was starting to want something a bit deeper. Then I found I met a really great person that I really wanted to be with and had the same, you know, sorry, can't be with you, I don't want to be committed. And she was like, oh, me either, I'm poly. And I'm like, huh. And I'd sort of had reading about poly on my list for a while, but I guess I needed to be confronted with someone that I really wanted to date. And so I dove into it, started reading everything I could, and caught myself up really, really quickly. And this is coming on the heels of, you know, I'll back up a little bit. A year and a half prior to that, I was backpacking in Europe, like you do, going on a, this is right after I became single at that 28 point. And, you know, through the magic of travel, came out to myself as trans. In fact, I was going through an old journal yesterday and, found the page to myself where I wrote down, I think I may be transgender. Yeah. And that was huge for me. Yeah. So I spent the next year and a half in therapy, reading, writing, posting on Reddit to the trans community, just being like, what's up? And knew that I kind of had to start doing something about it, but hadn't really gotten that far. And then I met the poly person, and I really liked being her boyfriend. So I kind of put that on the back burner and started being poly. And I didn't know this at the time, but our versions of poly were kind of at odds. So we fell into a primary kind of hierarchical relationship. Mm-hmm. Not super hierarchical, egalitarian, but still, she was my primary. And I didn't, you know, I didn't realize at the time that how at odds they were. So 10 months later, we wound up breaking up. And right after that point, I was like, okay, I know I don't want to be in a long-term monogamous relationship. And I know I kind of don't want to be one person's everything, even in a poly context. And that was me stumbling into solo poly. And pretty much right as I decided this, I fell into two really amazing, really stable partnerships with some really great people. And kind of just found my niche right away, I think, once I realized, oh, I need to be taking care of myself. Mm-hmm. Oh, I need to be living life for myself. And then all this love started happening. And it was really amazing to see the difference between dating a person, my primary, who was straight and kind of anxious at the idea of me transitioning, to starting to date people when I told them, I'm probably going to transition soon. I'm really trans. They're like, oh, awesome. That's great. And we're super supportive. So I think it was for me having a poly community and a trans community or poly community, really helped me with my trans identity. Mm-hmm. And then when I started, organizing meetup groups and finding, groups to join and kind of helping, join and build the poly community in San Diego, you attract the kind of people you are and that you're friends with. And so the poly community in San Diego, at least the one that I hang out in, is pretty queer and pretty trans and pretty great, I think, in that regard.
So you were kind of almost poly first and then came queer, right? Is that, or did you feel like it was kind of the same at the same time?
So I came out to myself as gender variant around the same time that I started being single. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really start calling myself trans until about 3 or 4 months into hormones. Mm-hmm. So I, as is actually a common story. So I think these feelings all burbled up around the same time, but I wasn't really able to put labels and identities to them until about a year and a half, 2 years after I started feeling them. And in that case, yeah, it all started coming together at once. And queer was just sort of, queer is this wonderful shield, right? Like, right. It's a way to put up an umbrella and say, I can't hear you. Don't ask me about who I am because I don't know. Everything goes in this bucket that is queer.
Right.
And after a while, I realized that even if I did transition, I would be transitioning to a really queer girl. Like, queerness is always going to be part of who I am because I like subverting and remixing these norms. And then it was sort of like a shield became a coat of arms, you know? Like, you step out from behind this thing that was shielding you, and now you feel it really represents you. So, yeah, all that stuff sort of started happening at once.
Yeah. A friend of mine, we sometimes talk about that being like basically kind of queer sexual in the sense of like, it's not about being attracted to men or attracted to women or attracted to trans or attracted to genderqueer. It's like, I'm attracted to queer people.
And yeah.
Yeah. And they can take different bodies, but yeah.
Oh, that happened to me really recently. I mean, when you start hormones, it kind of plunges you into a place of asexuality for a while, at least some people, at least myself. And then it's the sense of like, did my sex drive go away? Did my sexuality go away? Or is it just hiding? And then when I started examining myself, I realized exactly what you said. Oh, I just have a really queer sexuality now. I'm only into people if they're into me, not as a dude with bumps on their chest or a girl with a package, but like me with all my parts, all my energies flowing around and finding that I'm into people with the same sort of thing.
Right.
So yeah, absolutely. It's pretty fantastic, honestly.
Yeah. So you mentioned your first poly relationship, you were kind of had different types of poly. What would you say was sort of the, could you expand on that a little bit and talk about what are some of the biggest lessons you learned from it?
Oh, goodness. Good question. I think I learned that a lot of rules and agreements don't work for me. Not because I don't like abiding by those, but it's just hard. It just doesn't work with my personality. I'm not the kind of person who remembers to tell you. And for the uncomfortably hierarchical couple was sort of based a little bit on my experience with that feeling of, okay, I have to do this and this so we're okay. I have to do that and that so we're okay. Both for myself and for her. And then getting into a place with relationships where we have no agreements, kind of paradoxically, but really not, makes it a lot easier to follow all the things I would be following if there are rules. By which I mean, primary relationship, things got bad if I didn't disclose who I was dating, when they became relevant, when I went on dates with them, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes that was hard to do because, like, what is a date even?
But truth, right?
Right. But then with the partners I have now, they don't require anything from me, but they're also my best friends and I love them. So I want to be like, hey, I went on this date. Hey, you know, this person is relevant in my life. You kind of have to trust. I think that really is the thing. You kind of have to trust that even if you don't have agreements, even if you don't have these rules that are meant to keep things intact, they're going to be together and they're going to stay intact anyway because the relationship you have hopefully should be based on honesty, vulnerability, love, all those lovely things. So that was a big lesson for me. Also that I just don't know that I'm down to have a, like, one or even, like, two like ultimate pillar partners.
Right.
You, in fact,
one partner to rule them all.
One partner to rule them all. Right. Yeah, like monogamish doesn't work for me. I mean, it could. I spent enough time in monogamous relationships that sometimes I do kind of miss just having one person to come to with everything. And I find that in my sort of relationship scape, I do have a few people, like fewer people that I do more things with. And then the kind of like tail of lovers, sexy friends, like folks that I see and hang out with, but don't super have committed and see a lot in my life.
I think it's you talking reminds me of a couple things. I'll just start with where I'm at. Like, I'm right now sort of monogamish in the sense of like, you know, my partner and I, like, we're married and all and that, and but we're tired and we're lazy. So we kind of are at a place where it's like, we're totally fine, and we know at some point we're not, like, going to be the only people we have sex with, but we're okay if right now that's all we're kind of focused on. But what I find is that we both have come from poly experiences and had sort of open, very different open experiences, and it's still, we bring it to our relationship, and it's so helpful when it comes to just navigating close friends and family. Like, it's sort of, you know, it's about navigating emotional intimacy and being okay with other people being really important to your life and making time for it. Like, my wife is like, I'm going to help you buy a plane ticket to go visit, like, this friend on the West Coast who needs you right now. You know, so that's, I feel like, is polyamorous too. Like, there's still that poly practice happening, you know?
Yeah, poly is not something, I mean, it can be something you do, but you can also look at it like an identity and like a methodology and like a framework. Absolutely. And I would say maybe the biggest thing that I love about self-identifying as poly and being with other people who do the same is the just the idea that I can love who I want. Not even necessarily be with physically, but just that I can say I love you to people without running afoul of a strange societal rule that says you can only really say that to one person without having to put all these caveats and other things around it. Absolutely.
Yes, yes, I agree.
And it's kind of also like bisexuality in that regard, right? Like, you can't say that you're not bi unless you're dating both a guy and a girl at the same time, right? Like, that's just who you are, and it absolutely affects. In fact, my partner right now, she's been she's been my best friend for like 5 years, and it wasn't until I became poly and was able to start using those tools that I learned to talk to her about the things that were going on in our friendship and what they were. It wasn't until that happened that we were able to actually have a long-term successful partnership, because it was tools that I think you can use to anyone, like processing and being really vulnerable.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, we're going to take our last break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about the San Diego poly scene and your experience organizing poly groups. So we'll be right back with Adam Powers.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Latex gloves, leather cuffs, nipple clamps. Some things are just better in twos. That's why the Pleasure Chest is celebrating the power of two with their annual BOGO sale. Buy one, get one half off on all vibrating toys. Maybe you're dying to try the new rechargeable magic wand, but also want something travel-sized. Maybe you and your BFF are in the market for new vibes. Or maybe you want to explore a new kind of sensation for half the price. Any way you slice it, two is better than one. So don't agonize over buzzy versus rumbly, rabbit versus slimline, or internal versus external. Get a taste of everything with the Pleasure Chest's only sale of the year in each of their stores nationwide for the whole month of July. Not able to make it to one of their locations in New York, LA, or Chicago? PleasureChest.com is offering free shipping all month long on every order. You can also use the code Tristan at checkout year-round for a free massage candle with every purchase.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm here, Raymond, associate producer, talking to Adam Powers, who tonight read from their piece, The Only Poly People You'll Ever Date, which was had me laugh, cry, emojiing, and you should all go and Google Adam Powers, Only Poly People You'll Date, and he'll come up. Yay! And so before the break, Adam was talking a little bit about their story, coming into poly, coming out as trans, coming out as queer, things like that. Tell me, how did you end up in San Diego?
Well, I came down to go to UCSD and kind of just never left. For a while, not leaving was due to not having funds or my family being here or best friends being here being Southern California in general, and doing a little bit of traveling to alleviate that, but not really outright leaving. And then in the past couple of years, I'm kind of here by choice now, I feel. I think San Diego is in a very interesting point, technologically, so, and finally built the kind of community that I hypothesized existed. I need to move to Seattle so I can become queer and really, like, dive into the queer community there. I need this to be who I am. And now I don't. I found the wonderful, freaky, crazy folks just like me. Not crazy, but ableist. Wonderful, freaky, delightful, ridiculous folks just like me. And I don't feel the need to leave as much now. I have my little queer, trans, poly bubble. It's pretty fantastic.
So how did you start building your queer poly bubble? What tools did you use?
Yeah, so I mentioned that I was dating someone in a... my first poly relationship was sort of a primary sort of thing. And I had not really done poly before, and I kind of experienced everything through people. So me and that person's best friend, who later wound up becoming a partner of mine, started a potluck with just the idea of let's just do a thing in public and just hold it in public so people don't feel weird going to someone's house, and just do it consistently. Do it like every 2 weeks and see who shows up. And first we seeded it among our burner friends, and those are the first folks to show up. And then just it has grown and built and not really gotten super big. It's been about the same people the entire time. But it's been changing and getting, I guess, more queer as the people who host it and the people who come get more queer. It's kind of cool, right? Like the people who come influence other people to come, and that's how a group changes.
Right.
And then another person that I'm seeing came with the idea of co-hosting a Poly Cocktails chapter. It's a social mixer that started in New York. And it has kind of a template. It has to start on the second Monday of every month. And then there are poly cocktails happening all over the country. And so we started the San Diego chapter, held it at a bar in a neighborhood called University Heights. And that really took off, I think, because people don't always necessarily want to talk about poly. They just want to be around poly people.
Right.
And so there's not a lot of poly talk going on there, but there's a lot of folks just hanging out. So that's pretty great. I wouldn't say that... these two events comprise the majority of the poly community at all. There are some wonderful folks who organize meetings up in Escondido, out in East County, further south, further north. It's really a full kind of a rich tapestry of people. I think the what started it though for me and Alyssa, who started the potluck with me, I think we wanted it to kind of be an alternative to what we saw poly in San Diego being at that point, which is either mostly spiritual or mostly sexual, right? Like either having this tantra element to it and everyone's walking around in white robes, or people, you know, it's more connected to the sex scene and almost like an offshoot of the swinger scene. And the people there just go to these things for meat markets. So we wanted it to be just a pretty like everyday pedestrian poly sort of thing. Like, hey, let's talk about this thing we're doing and maybe exchange Google Calendar tips and, you know, I'm trying to raise kids, or I'm trying to go to college, and what is jealousy? What is compersion? I'm really coming at it from a just person off the street sort of thing, wanting it to be secular and wanting it to be social and not really have an agenda behind it.
So yeah, it's interesting. Like we think about poly, it's kind of like anything, like any of the queer identities, like gay, trans, where at first you're sort of like, I just want to meet and talk to every gay person, or I want to meet and talk to every trans person. And then eventually you're kind of like, oh, but I don't necessarily have anything else in common with them besides
right.
this. So that's the, you can run into that same thing, just like with poly, because some people are poly, but they're more like, have a BDSM leather in the lifestyle. Some people are poly, like you said, they are coming at it from more of a like, tantric, spiritual, erotic things like that. So, you know, it's we have space, and it's important to have lots of different poly groups where people can connect in various ways and around different communities, and while still Absolutely. Having those Skillshare elements that you were talking about, like, you know, dealing with jealousy, things like that, or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What are some of your, what are your favorite parts about organizing and doing the groups?
Honestly, it's all from a very selfish perspective. When I host the potlucks, and we have co-moderators, co-hosts, and we'll try to switch it off when we can. But for me, it's really just a place where I can come and speak my heart when I want to and get in from it. That's what it started as. I need to learn, so I'm going to collect a group of people to tell me what to do and to help me out. But everyone feels that way, so it kind of is more of a peer counseling thing. And the community is great. Like, we all meet in the park, and afterwards sometimes we'll just hang out with each other. And, I mean, we always hang out with each other. That's what makes it a community. And Poly Cocktails is the energy for me. Just seeing so many people from so many different backgrounds coming together in one room or one bar, just talking for hours and finding something in common that they'd never run into each other in any other community. So that's what I think is interesting about well, anything we do is just a way to filter the people that come into our lives, right?
Yeah.
So,
all right. I have one last quick question before we go, because we're running out of time already. But what would you say are, what's some of a rookie mistake you see folks make who are new to poly socializing, or what advice would you kind of give to help with that?
Oh, wow. That's a really great question. I think, as with everything, try not to have any expectations going into it. Do you mean like entering a poly community or trying to enter a group, or?
Sure. Yeah. I think sometimes people, like, they want to go and meet other poly people, but then, you know, so like coming to one of your events, say, for example.
If someone were coming to one of our events, I would say, don't have any expectations. Don't come in hoping to find a partner or to find a third. Don't come in hoping for anything. Just come in hoping to meet people and being ready to listen, being ready to be vulnerable, and being ready to share from yourself. Whether you're at a discussion group or a social mixer, we're just regular folks, all of us. There's nothing really, I mean, it's scary to us, but there's nothing scary about it or what we're doing. We're just trying to figure out how to get by in this world, loving in a way that society tells us isn't the normal way, but that feels really, really right to us. So I think that is really what brings everyone together, is that idea that we're almost like we're getting away with something, which is something you have to unlearn. But even then, you're like, wow, I've reflected so many times in the past year. Wow, how did I get this much love? Do I deserve this much love? Wow, what if I do? What if I did? And it does great things for you to think that this is how humans should be. You know, says the person who is this way.
No, I think that's good. I think that's great advice about just being open and don't expect to get laid the first night.
right, exactly. How does the joke go? Poly people don't have sex. We just talk about it.
Exactly.
We pross about it.
Exactly. Adam, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking with me. It's been really great this past hour. And you have some other writing up that's really good as well. People should check out that sort of a poly primer that's more serious. So if you are looking for resources right now, I highly recommend to check out Adam Powers on Medium. That's where a lot of your writing is right now. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for this experience. I really appreciate it.
All right. Adam Powers is a 31-year-old California native who's lived in San Diego for the better part of a decade. You can also find them on Twitter, right? At Adam Powers. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible, including Tristan Cerimino, of course, who will be back next week. Executive producer Karen Dana, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Scene Set, Matt the engineer tonight, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of the show or want to hear it again, you can listen to On Demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast on iTunes, and we'd love it if you'd give us a review. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern, when our guest will be Lee Harrington, and your trusty host Tristan will return. Until then, hit us up on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio and at Tristan Cerimino. And in your own life, go out and talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Cerimino on Voice America Variety.